What are you afraid of? There are likely as many answers to that question as there are people in church. This morning's scripture reading, Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 43, comes from a unique section in Luke's gospel. It gently begins with Jesus' words appealing to his listeners to not be afraid. Jesus then offers a grouping of wisdoms, sayings, and two brief parables about staying alert. The reading begins. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Friends, would you pray with me? O Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever and always acceptable unto you. For you are our rock and our redeemer, our Alpha and our Omega, our beginning and our end, the source of our love, and a wellspring of our joys. Amen. Hey, Bob, I haven't seen you in church in a long, long time, and I'm thinking there might be a lightning bolt coming right through that roof pointed at you. I think I'm going to sit over here, if you don't mind. I hear those kind of comments, often made in joke, of course, at special services like a wedding where we get lots of visitors coming to church. Why is it that we have these kind of images of a God that would shoot lightning bolts at people for not having regular attendance at church on a Sunday morning? Do we have a fear of God? Are we afraid of the church? I sometimes get questions about my calling into ministry, the story about how that all occurred in my life. And I find that people are wondering about these kind of lightning bolt and thunderstorm stories, only to be kind of disappointed by my story. Why do we have these images of a God that has lightning bolts and speaks in thunder? Are we afraid of God? Are we afraid of the church? There's lots of people over the ages that have documented the day that Jesus will have a second coming, the return to earth. They always get it wrong, of course. The rapture, the second coming, the apocalypse. We've seen the movies filled with violence. Are we afraid? Why do we have these kind of images of a God? Why do we have this in our culture? The American Psychiatric Association even has a list of fears, of phobias that we have about fears of church, fears of God. Fear of church, ecclesiophobia. Fear of a priest, aerophobia. For our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters, fear of the Pope, papophobia. I did check, and there is no fear of sermons going on way, 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 way too long. But on a serious note, I wonder if even in the liberal Protestant church, if we have some fears of God, if we have kind of in our psyche, if we have some fears of the church, if deeply embedded in us is some fear that needs to be examined. And I think that is why Jesus begins the 32nd verse of this passage, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. We look back throughout the text. I mean, just take a look at Luke, for example, the gospel that we're in. "Do not be afraid" was said over and over and over. "Do not be afraid" comes to Zechariah, husband of Elizabeth, soon to be the father of John the Baptist. Says, an angel says, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a child, and you will name him John." Later on in Luke, later on, it comes to the same words come to a young pregnant Mary. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive, you will bear a son, you'll name him Jesus." First visitors to visit the child Messiah. Shepherds, right? Working in their fields, they see the light, they're afraid. And what are the words? The angel says to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of a great joy, for to you is born all the people, city of David, Messiah, the Lord." And Jesus consistently throughout his ministry calls people into following his way of peace. And whenever he does that, he always says, "Do not be afraid." Simon Peter at the Sea of Galilee, "Do not be afraid." Jairus, as his daughter was healed, "Do not be afraid." The disciples, leaving the safety of their nets, "Do not be afraid." What is it that we are afraid of? What is it that we are called to be moving away from that we're afraid of? Well, the passage continues, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is God's good pleasure to give you kingdom." Giving of the kingdom, think, is what Jesus is worried that people are going to be afraid of. Because that is awesome. It's an interesting passage because we kind of miss really what is being said, I think, unless we pay a lot of attention to it in the English. Because in the Greek, there's kind of a verb tense in Greek that we don't really have in English called the aorist tense. And what it means is that it's already arrived. Don't be afraid. It is God's divine pleasure, like it's already been done, to give you the kingdom. It's like saying, don't be afraid. God has given you the kingdom already. You just need to show up and celebrate. Don't be afraid. The banquet table has already been laid out for you. All you need to do is come forth and receive God's gifts. Or to put it in today's vernacular, don't worry, it's all good. At least that's what my teenagers say. Now, if this is true, if we truly believe this spiritual gift, this spiritual teaching from Jesus this morning, isn't it time we started living it? Isn't it time we started living the kingdom of God that is coming through Jesus, that is here now and ready for us to receive? Do we believe that the kingdom has arrived, or do we just go about our day in and day out lives not believing that truth? Do we, when we go out into the world, do we expect to see the face of Christ in others, or do we just expect to see the same old, same old? Do we center our lives on the eternal matters, on the matters of the Spirit, on the matters of life that continue, that things that really matter? Or do we center our lives on things that we're afraid of and worried about, and we fret and we worry? It's a book from a long time ago, but I know all of you will be familiar with it. Stephen Covey wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. His third habit is the one that's the most popular. You can probably all name it as well as I can. Put first things first, right? I mean, we know that one so well. I think what we're being called to do in this text is question, what are we putting first? What do we put first, and what are the other things that kind of don't matter as much? Jesus is saying the kingdom is here, the kingdom is now, the gifts of God are present for us. We need to prepare for them now. I'm not going to go into, we don't have time this morning, we try and keep things a little shorter on a communion service, of course, but there's a posture in those two parables, a calling for us to be prepared, a calling for us to be watchful. There is, I think it's no different than a spiritual practice of prayer, that Jesus is calling us to be prepared and to be watchful. No different than we're called to pray each day for our spiritual lives, that we are also called to go out in the world and be prepared and to be watchful, to be aware of God present, God's kingdom that is there around us and within us. It's a deep honor for me, for the very first time actually, to preside at communion here at Northwood United Church. And whenever I participate in communion, I'm always wondering, when I'm pouring the juice into the cup, what are we preparing for? I'm always wondering, when I'm breaking the loaf, what are we expecting will happen? I think this text is inviting us to wait for Jesus to arrive. Now, I'm aware that we have a profound difference between the Roman Catholic and the Protestant churches in our understanding of the Eucharist or communion. And we have these big, long, fancy names of consubstantiation and transubstantiation and whether or not Jesus is physically body, is present, and his blood is present in the juice and in the bread, and or whether his spirit is there. However you fall on that continuum, think when we prepare ourselves, when we expect spiritually for things to happen, for Jesus to show up, Jesus becomes present for us the way that we need that in our faith today. Now, the challenge, of course, in this is when we move out of this beautiful sanctuary, from this Sunday best kind of way in which we have things all prepared and nice and we're not working and Carrie has kids she's running after today, but when we kind of have things just in a nice, prepared way. When we go out and we spend the other 6.5 days of our life, how do we live spiritually then? How do we live in ways that we are prepared, that we are watchful, we are living with eyes to see the kingdom, the glory, the love of God? I had some interesting comments this week about last week's sermon. And in the sermon, I referred to the wildly popular video game Pokemon Go. And I just love the interaction of this church. I mean, people calling on the phone and emailing, it's just wonderful. And not to go over that and re-explain it, but it does cause us, that game calls us to play the game. You have to live in a digital world, like an artificial world, in order to play it, right? And one person, I think, summarized a lot of the comments, and she said, you know, it's kind of a sad commentary on our younger generation where they have to spend so much time living in an artificial world and use their computerized devices to access it. Good point. But isn't the spiritual world also equally challenging to access? Isn't the spiritual world that's around us also equally challenging for us to participate with and to engage with? I think that is why Jesus is calling us to be prepared, because it's not easy. I think that's why Jesus is teaching us to be watchful, because this is hard stuff. If we want to live and grow in the spiritual world, if we want our faith to be guiding us, if we want to live the other 6.5 days of our week as people of faith, it's not easy. And it is so easy to miss it. It would be so easy for us to go in our day in and day out lives and miss the beauty and the wonder God has for you and for me. It would be so easy for you to come to this table and to receive a piece of bread and dip it in some grape juice and to think it's just a soggy piece of bread. Meanwhile, that is the body, that is the presence of Jesus that wants to journey with you. It would be so easy for us to go to work and to think that we're there just for ourselves and the profit of the company. But meanwhile, that is an expression of our calling. It would be so easy for us to go and see our neighbors in need, go about our day-to-day life, and forget Jesus' teaching of the golden rule. It would be so easy for us to hit the bumps in our family's life, take the easy road, and forget the sacredness and the promises made to our families. Don't miss it, Jesus teaches, by being unprepared. Don't miss it by being not watchful. Don't miss it by being afraid. Barbara Brown Taylor has a wonderful quote about this. She says, to quote her, "Being without fear allows us to know the source of our treasure, that we are children of God, which makes it possible for us to participate in God's kingdom." Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, little ones, for it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. All we need do is be open, prepared, and watchful for God's kingdom love in our lives and in our living expressed. Thanks be to God. Amen. There's a beautiful piece of music that I think is inspired by this passage. It's "Don't Be Afraid."